When it comes to weight loss, no two people are the same. That's why Noom builds personalized plans based on your unique psychology and biology. Take Brittany. After years of unsustainable diets, Noom helped her lose 20 pounds and keep it off.
I was definitely in a yo-yo cycle for years of just losing weight, gaining weight, and it was exhausting.
And Stephanie. She's a former D1 athlete who knew she couldn't out-train her diet, and she lost 38 pounds.
My relationship to food before Noom was never consistent.
And Evan, he can't stand salads, but he still lost 50 pounds with Noom.
I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. Even through the pickiness, Noom taught me that building better habits builds a healthier lifestyle. I'm not doing this to get to a number. I'm doing this to feel better.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom users compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
In a world where Carolina Panthers fans have an insatiable thirst for Panthers fans and opinions, only one podcast roars ferociously. It's the C3 Panthers podcast.
What's the deal, Panther fans? It's your boy, the Professor, a.k.a. Tony Dunn. It's the C3 Panthers podcast brought to you by CarolinaCatChronicles.com, where every Tuesday night we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. We've got it's the longest running Panthers podcast out there, and we ain't quitting tonight. It's a slow news cycle, but it does touch the heart, as we will talk about TJ Olson's heart transplant. And we do have a guest coming on, Gene Thomas, Buck What You Heard, to come and discuss the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offseason and draft as we continue to work through and sift through the Panthers schedule. Next week, we'll do the Saints. So that will wrap up our discussion about the NFC South. Then we'll start looking on to more and more opponents. And I think I'm going to do the last spot with our opening game. And I believe we open against the Jets. So we'll end that segment probably with Scott Mason from Play Like a Jet. We got a lot of good Jet pals out there that we can talk about. And that will be an epic storyline as we approach the kickoff of the 2021 NFL season for the Carolina Panthers, as Sam Darnold will face his old team, the New York Jets, and their new quarterback, Zach Wilson. Tonight, Code Dizzle Allen will be with me, Gene Thomas at 9:20, and there's an echo. Where's an echo? Please don't tell me there's an echo. Good gosh. All right. Anyway, mad shout out to all the people in the chat room. Please tell me that the audio is good. Lynn's in the chat. Look, Lynn, she's Panthers royalty right here. I saw Joe Riolano, the founder of the C3 Panthers podcast. Trill One, AJ Lindsay, 1216. You guys make the show. The number is 252-228-5098. Keep pounding TV in the house. Ross Gould, you're right. The Canes are depressing right now. They are down 2-0 and facing elimination. It is he said it was only on the intro. I got you, bro. I probably have to tweak some audio things. Usually Cody plays it, which probably changes things. Anyway, Cody's out tonight. He's sitting out, kind of like the Carolina Hurricanes are going to be sitting out of the playoffs. Go ahead and jump into the show, 252-228-5098. We'll get into it. And like Lynn said, also, Thomas Davis's break-in, OTAs, Aaron Rodgers not at mandatory training camp, and Julio Jones has been traded, right? So that's pretty crazy. That helps us. So go ahead and smash the thumbs up button, subscribe to the Longest Running Panthers podcast, and don't forget, tonight's show is powered by Avolta. No money down. You can cut the cord with your energy company and go solar. Take advantage of tax cuts, right? Add equity to your home. If you're a homeowner in North and South Carolina, contact Kevin Brown, Solar Consultant, at 704-215-3373. That's 704-215-3373. And let's go ahead and jump into it. You can, guys, right now, I think as we're looking at probably the slowest news cycle in the history of the Carolina Panthers at this point, and that might be a good thing. As I've been looking at Twitter and social media, basically the biggest storyline that I have seen is that Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey share similar birthdays and like to hang out together. You like to see that chemistry. And continued, the Carolina Panthers did recently hold the optional team workouts, the optional team activities. And it seems like most of the people were there. We talked about a lot about that last week. The number one missing person was Robbie Anderson. And Robbie Anderson's name has popped up over the last couple of weeks and linked to, I guess, as we saw Panthers Confidential, that Robbie Anderson's name was linked to the Panthers potentially trying to trade him. And so now we continue to say, well, where is Robbie Anderson? What is his role going forward? And as you hear about trades and this and that, this week, Julio Jones was traded to the Tennessee Titans. And some of the people in my Twitter feeds were like, wait, look, is that we couldn't trade Robbie Anderson. And look at how, anyway, Robbie Anderson needs to be part of this team. We will address something that I said in the last week's show that I've actually had some people reach out to me and talk about is how deep the Carolina Panthers wide receiver core is. And I took a little flack, a little blowback. A lot of people were on Cody Lashney's side saying that the wide receiver core is legit. And I got some questions, man. We're one injury away from this being one of the most unproven squads. Imagine if DJ Moore is not available 1 week. What happens then? There, yes, I like the optimism. I like the people saying the glasses have full. Terrence Marshall Jr., you invested a lot in him. Shy something.
Yeah, yeah, from right.
South Carolina. But how can I get so excited? It's not excitement that I'm talking about. It's the lack of, I guess, experience. And so, yes, everything looks great when you look at the guys that are supposed to be on the field. But we know that the NFL is about who is available and the teams that can stay healthy. And so, yes, we are certainly banking on Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore staying healthy all season. Hey, Code Dizzle's in the house, my man. CK, how you doing?
Oh, you know, just out here doing my thing. Got the hustle going and, you know, just waiting for more juicy Panthers news that we have been starving for since the draft and we aren't getting yet. So that's about where I'm at.
It looks like the Canes just fell to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Congratulations to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for moving on. I hate them, but they are a phenomenal team, like a big, fast, sound team with fantastic goalie play and also the defending Stanley Cup champions. So the Carolina Hurricanes got a lot to look forward to going forward, very similar to the Carolina Panthers in a certain way. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit, maybe what we want the Panthers to become is that the Carolina Hurricanes are a very young team that have gotten better from year to year to year. And that's kind of what we're looking for with the Carolina Panthers. Now, you said this was a slow news cycle, and I promise you, I don't know if I remember a week where there hasn't been a single story that is related to actual football for the Carolina Panthers in the 9 years that I've been doing this show. Right. Usually something pops up. today, all I got for you to talk about is this, is kind of, I guess, kind of storylines that just kind of relate to the Carolina Panthers. One is this, is TJ Olson. We saw recently, maybe 2 weeks ago, Greg Olson came out and said that, you know, he said, look, is the family news is that, you know, that we've had children that have had these heart problems and that they've been battling it, even though we've looked at them as being, I guess, on the back end of them, right? It's like when they were babies, they had this operation and we just all, it was a celebration. Everything's going forward. Everything's good. But, you know, you kind of, you don't know what you don't know behind the scenes is that, yes, is that they have been continuing. This has been a big part of their lives, and especially for TJ. And it came out that he was in need of a heart transplant. And then just a few days ago, good news, a donor came about. And he was on social media thanking Panther fans or thanking everyone for their thoughts, their prayers, and their well wishes as he was recovering from what appears to be at this moment a successful heart transplant. And, you know, it's a, again, now we're on a storyline. It's not a storyline. This is very important. This is people's lives. TJ Olson, look, I guess we'll continue to pray for you. Like, I don't know what the right thing is. Like, this is, I guess, a good news. This is a good story right now. Good story.
It certainly is. I mean, it's hard to argue aside from that, that it was not a good story at this point. I mean, right. It's good. The only thing that I think it's hard for me to even fathom is like not feeling selfish, right? And what I mean is you've got to think like there are families, there is a family out there that lost somebody. Like for right. TJ, for TJ to have a heart, like, and it's very possible it was a child. You know, I don't know how the age difference, I don't know if you can put a grown yeah. man's heart into an 8-year-old's body. I don't know if that works that way or not, but like the reality is like, how do you not be elated that your son is surviving? But at the same time thinking like, am I bad for cheering for the fact that somebody else passed away to give my son this heart? But I mean, it's hard not for me yeah. to think that way. But at the same time, you're like, well, I mean, that person, regardless of the circumstances, was going to be in their situation either way. And so it's not necessarily something so like it. All TJ did was make sure that whoever passed away didn't die for no reason. You know,
so you it's, know, it's know. It, here is the thing is that tragedy, we're constantly bombarded with stories of tragedy. Yeah. Right. And it's nice when you hear stories of that are uplifting. Right. And for me, I have three children and I've been fortunate that all three are in good health. And it's already difficult enough being a parent in the world with three healthy children. Yep. I can't imagine the stress, the heart, you know, the stress, the emotion that comes with dealing with health issues or whatever it may be, whatever challenges that we face. And so it's just for me, is that it's nice to hear stories of happiness and up, you know, is that, and this is kind of a probably a poor juxtaposition. There was this girl at work, her daughter won a $4 million scratch off ticket.
Your work?
Yeah. And this was like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh yeah.
And I could not, and in my town, right? And like, I mean, like, I just couldn't get over it. Like, I just kept talking about it. I was like, oh man, that, you know, like, I'm so into this story. And people were like, geez, dude, are you jealous? And you know what? I was not jealous. I'm not jealous of the money. And I'm actually not jealous at all. I'm actually infatuated with stories that are positive, life changing stories. So many times we hear life-changing stories and 9 out of 10 times they're bad. Yeah. Right. Is that like, I lost my job. My wife got cancer. Hey, recently. And we, yeah, I don't know if you guys got as much rain as we've had in Eastern North Carolina, but his rain's ridiculous here. It rained 6 inches in like 18 hours here one day.
My gosh. It
was insane, man. Like insane. And there was an accident in my my city where a 18-wheeler lost control, crossed the median, and hit this car. Turns out one of the people that was in the car that passed away went to the college I work at, played softball for our softball team. But they're like, there was a brother and sister in that car. Right. So I think this is that ultimately I'm going to come back is this is, I don't know if you're a prayer person, if you, what you think about, I don't know, sending good vibe, whatever it is I'm happy for the Olson family and I'm happy.
Yeah.
DJ Olson that they get to wake up and have a story of happiness today rather than one of heartache. And look, I'm guessing like it came with his original, with the original thing is that this will continue to be part of their life and his life going forward. So, good vibes there. On the other hand, is that we can go to this not so happy storyline for Thomas Davis, who some ruffians broke into his garage and I guess like vandalized, stole, and this was his, what is this, a McLaren? How do you say it? Is it McLaren?
McLaren? Yeah, McLaren.
Is that somehow they did this in the garage. What the hell? Do you see this picture right here? I mean, like, that's how do insane. You do that? Yeah, how do you break into somebody's house and bend the tire?
Yeah, you had to, like, that's what my question was when I saw that. I'm like, how is this not, like, how did this happen, number one? And number two, was it that they just, like I think you had mentioned earlier, did they just happen to drive through the garage or something and then hit the car?
I think they took another car. They had to have taken another car in his garage and, like, smashed it into this.
I mean, it's wild. That's got to be it. That's got to be what it was.
And then I heard that he went to social media saying what happened, and they caught him. They caught the two people. I don't know what the story, what does the story actually say? I haven't had a chance to read. I haven't either. Says, as they were leaving their home, deputies said they noticed a couple that most of the vehicles and driveway open doors. So it was like a whole neighborhood thing. Made off with one of his luxury. Oh, so they left with it and wrecked it. So... wow, man, what, did he leave the keys in it? And then they found them, and it looks like they got surveillance on these cats. Anyway,
ridiculous.
Reward for anyone that can help identify these guys, and I believe that they were able to find them. The internet will not lose to cash rewards. I'll tell you that, man. Imagine this is that, imagine, you know, my friend was telling me that this was a few years ago. His son got arrested for shoplifting 3 days before Christmas. Right. And he like tried to steal a jacket from Belk or JCPenney or something like that. And right before, you know, and he said, fortunately, he was a minor because it didn't ruin his life. Because it will, like, if you get real charges, it's very hard to bounce back in the workforce. But he said that he made him open up all his Christmas presents that year with all the family. And then he then proceeded to make him put them in a trash bag and throw his entire Christmas out. Like, that was his.
Unbelievable. And my
buddy, I guess, I was like, God, I'd be returning that shit. But, I was thinking about it with my own children, and I'm fortunate that my kids are more responsible than me at times. I feel like I got some good ones, but you never know. Every now, like, we all make dumb decisions in our life and stuff like that. Imagine though, being a 17-year-old kid, and this is what you do. And the damages on it are so high, like this, is going to be like a $200,000 repair.
Bro, like,
you know what I'm saying? Like, oh man, why couldn't you have tried to shoplift the jacket from JCPenney? Damn it.
I mean, what do you do as Thomas Davis in this moment? I know the reality is you want to get your money back, right? I mean, you want to get that, but But at the same time, do you look at this, you know, kid and say, like, look at his upbringing and make the decision on, like, you know, maybe we take it easy on him because he wasn't, you know, he didn't have a father figure or like whatever it may be.
We don't know anything about the people that got caught. You know, we don't know. Is that for all we know is their dad's a lawyer. I don't know what's you know, is that ultimately this was a decision that will wreck this these kids' lives for a little while. Stay outside the law, folks. I mean, or inside the law, whatever the right term is. Don't get arrested, right? Just chill, folks. Chill. Right. Just, you know, if you need a little, I don't know, is that I just hope my kids come to me and say, Dad, I need this jacket so much I'm willing to steal it. And I'll say, I'm willing to pawn my computer so you don't. And then we'll end the podcast that way. All right, so we'll come back and talk after. We're about to move to our guest. Gene Thomas is going to be in the house in just a moment to help us break down the Bucks offseason. As we go forward, we got the cat calls coming up. The number is 252-228-5098. That's 252-228-5098. Don't forget to sub up to the podcast. Tell someone about it. Just that, man. Like when I see you guys share it on social media and you just say, check this out, it's the best thing in the world. I'm telling you, it's the greatest thing you can do, is that we're going to try to keep pounding these streets. We're going to keep pounding these streets as we go forward. So be a part of the community. Get in that chat room. Get in the Discord. The Discord's in the show notes. Follow me on Twitter at cat underscore chronicle. And going forward, we'll talk about this. Talk about the Panther Stadium and how Bank of America is potentially falling down, but David Tepper will not build the stadium on his own. But before we do that, actually, until we do that, let's go ahead and bring in my man, Gene Thomas, Buck What You Heard, the best podcast name in the business. My old school friend on the C3 Panthers podcast. What's up, Gene?
Hey, not too much, man. It's been a long time. How you been?
Well, we've been good. We've just been letting you bask in your glory, as you bring back an entire team and you have the powerhouse. And we're just kind of we're the dark horse of the division, trying to find a lane to get in. And as Julio Jones was traded from the Atlanta Falcons, maybe we can pass those horses right there, because they do have a lot of work to do. I know people are excited about Kyle Pitts, but there's a lot of work to be done on that roster. One of the things that was funny is that Mike Davis was an addition to them, a former Carolina Panther running back and a guy that we liked a lot. But when you go and look at the Atlanta Falcons roster, it's Mike Davis and no one else. So maybe the Carolina Panthers can slide into that three spot. Maybe New Orleans is vulnerable, but we're here to talk about the Bucks, man. Tell us what has been happening with the Super Bowl champs this offseason. Do you want to start free agency? Do you want to talk about the draft?
Well, you know, if we go in succession, we can talk about free agency. I've never seen anything like this where a Super Bowl champion brings back all of its starters. There's always that one person that ends up.
It's unprecedented, actually. Yeah. I don't know if there's ever been a team that's been able to do this.
In the free agency era, at least.
Yeah. I don't know that there's been a team that even, like, ever existed that had everybody come back that was a starter. And what I mean, like, not just Super Bowl, not just good teams, like, but bad teams even. Like, I know you don't want to keep all the bad team players around, which is probably why, but I don't think this has ever happened in the free agency era that I can recall.
You know, what's interesting, this is a new territory for me. There has always been depth issues, and, you know, as long as we've known each other, you know, we go all the way back to when they were winless. I think, you know, doing a podcast when the Buccaneers are winless and, you know, they get that win and then they get, you know, end up with Winston and, you know, the rest of the story. That's kind of how that all started. But where they are right now, depth is not a big question. And when you look at the depth of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you bring back all your starters, you bring back a lot of the people that were role players that kind of gave, you know, spelled out, you know, some of your starters so that they could come in and so they can go out and get rest. And I've just never seen anything like that. So when we got to the draft, it's like you're playing with house money.
Yeah. Because how about this is who were some of the players that kind of were the ones that are surprising that you were able to bring back? I think of
Chris Godwin. I was on your show. I was on your show and I said, Chris Godwin, I do not see the Bucs bringing him back. But I mean, Antonio Brown is another one. I figured, you know, with what they did, you know, they would, you know, they would have lost somebody. I felt like
what about the franchise tag defensive end that last year had
Shaq Barrett.
That's it. What were we able to do with him? Is that 1 year, multi-year?
Well, yes, 1 year. It's 1 year. This is it right here. And I mean, you gotta make the most of this because free agency next year or the salary cap next year is gonna go up a little bit, but they're not gonna be able to bring everybody back next year. So this is it.
All right. So as free agency unfolded and you guys were able to bring back some of their surprise names, Shaq Barrett, Godwin, you wonder if they're betting on I think Juju Smith-Schuster is a good example of this, as people were surprised that he re-signed with the Pittsburgh Steelers instead of going to the Ravens for more money. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that I'm kind of coming back to is I think that we are seeing a lot of players banking on themselves, betting on themselves. Yeah. One of those being on the Carolina Panthers, Hassan Reddick, who had 12 sacks last year, who could have been in that conversation for top fleet money or at least breakout type money. And he took a 1 year, really actually very friendly deal for the Carolina Panthers. Mm-hmm. And I think it's about joining a team that he sees potential with, where he can continue to shine and they can take advantage of his skill set. He knows the defensive coordinator, Phil Snow, and Matt Rhule played under them in college. And I think he's betting on himself for next year when the salary cap expands. And I bet you that was a lot easier for Tampa Bay Buccaneer players to do, given the fact that you could bring back the Super Bowl squad again, get the band back together. So I think a lot of these guys are like, hey, let's get a ring and get paid this year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you talk about Carolina, you guys know that I was the main one that said Carolina was not going to be as bad as people thought they were. And there were some games they should have won. I just felt like they didn't have certain pieces. But Carolina is going to be a scary team to play. It's not going to be you're going to walk in and just win the game, especially if Christian McCaffrey is healthy. I don't know what your quarterback situation is. I'm not a big Sam Darnold fan, personally.
Well, even Sam Darnold fans aren't even big Sam Darnold fans, right? Is even the most optimistic voices, even on this podcast, myself, Cody Lashney, even more about Darnold and his talent level. For me, it's a glass half full, reboot opportunity, and we have to see these guys actually play. Yeah. Right. So it's like you can only be so excited. But right now, that's what the team has tossed their hat in the ring for him. And so that's what we're dealing with. So,
but the thing you guys have to keep in mind, too, is your players have bought into Matt Rhule's system, both offense and defense. And regardless of what level of talent you have, like 50 Pro Bowlers or one or two, when you play as a unit, you can get a lot done as a collective unit, as opposed to having, you know, three or four superstars. So I like what Carolina's doing. They're slowly but surely putting it together. And I would hope that your fan base would have some semblance of patience because this is not going to be an overnight thing. It will take some time, but you can see market improvement. And I think what people miss is that you didn't have Christian McCaffrey most of last year. And just consider what you had. You beat the Kansas City Chiefs. If Christian McCaffrey is healthy, 100% healthy, you beat the Kansas City Chiefs last year. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind about that. And there are some other games that Carolina should have won, but I think with the lack of depth in certain places, it kind of hurt your team. So, again, it's one of those teams I'm going to be watching to see what they do.
What happened in the draft for the Bucks with the draft?
I love the draft. I thought the draft was really good. You bring in a player like a Joe Tryon, who I know that he was out last year because of COVID. He didn't want to play. And I feel like, you know, what he's done in the offseason to get himself ready for the NFL, he's done quite a bit to get himself ready. I know he had a minor surgery to clean up his knee, but he is at he's going to be a mandatory OTA. So that's a positive. Your second round pick, Kyle Trask. If you're a SEC guy, you know about him with the Florida Gators. I think it's really good to be able to bring a rookie in and let him sit behind Tom Brady, catch up with the speed of the NFL, and let's see what you've got next year, 2022. No pressure on him. Just sit back, mental reps, learn the speed of the game, just learn the system, and get yourself ready for when it's your time to be called up. So I love that pick. I thought it was a good pick. A lot of Bucks fans did not, but you have to have somebody because Tom Brady's not going to be around forever. So you need to be preparing yourself for when he's gone. And
don't
I think
tell Tom Brady Trask, that.
Huh?
Don't tell Tom Brady he's not going to be around forever.
Hey, Father Time's undefeated, though. You know, I'm enjoying the ride. I'm enjoying the ride. I'm not one of those obnoxious Bucks fans that, hey, we won a Super Bowl, blah, blah, blah. But I'm enjoying it. And, you know, I'm just going to ride this till the wheels fall off. And then, you know, we go on to the next phase in football. So players like Kyle Trask, it's a good move. Robert Hanzy, from Notre Dame, great offensive lineman. I think here's another guy with the level of depth that you have for the Buccaneers. You can rotate him in, but there's not a lot of pressure on him to come in and be an impact player maybe next year. But again, with free agency, the way it's going to be, he's another guy that you just kind of let him, another depth piece that could potentially help. And probably the guy that I'm most excited about is Jalen Darden. Because if you know anything about Tampa and you played us two times out of the year, our kick return team is atrocious. I mean, just kick returns was horrible. Jaden Mickens was not, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I hated him. You know, when you look at some kick returners, and you guys have had prolific kick returners in your history. He's one of those guys. It's like he has to think before when he gets the ball, he has to think where he's going. And when a good kick returner gets the ball, instinctively, he knows I'm going this way. This is what I'm going to do. And we never got that from him. He just kind of had, and I can't put my finger on it. He kind of hesitated. So I'm hoping that Darden will be that guy that can come in, and he's fast. And I mean, his speed is just ridiculous. So here's a guy that I'm hoping can come in and compete for that kick returner position.
You know, that's going to be something we're going to be looking at, Cody, CK. We're going to be looking at who the heck is going to be returning kicks for us going forward. As at points last year, we had Curtis Samuel returning punts. We had Christian McCaffrey at one point, and this was 2 years ago doing this. The punt return has been difficult for us. I feel like we were able to – who was it that we filled the void with? The chat room maybe could help us. We got a punt returner. It was like from Arizona, I think, who was all right. We had one of those running backs that we don't know their names doing the kickoff, the returns. I think, Gene, the thing to look at for those guys that on punt returns is like you make one miss and then you go, right, on the taking it out. You got to run north-south, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
you can't go left. In college, you can try to run east and west because you're faster than – you know, 85% of the people out there, but you've got to run north, south. Pharaoh Cooper. Thank you, Jason. Yeah, we had Pharaoh Cooper last year, and he may or may not be on the team.
No, he's not with the Jaguars, I think.
Oh, he did? Okay. So a lot of people are looking to Shai Smith as being the guy. Now, you know, special teams are a very big, important component of the game, and I think that's what Gene is highlighting is we know the Bucks have had some problems with, you know, field goal kickers. Yeah, it's been a tough thing. I saw that today, CK, we were looking for things to talk about. And I was looking on Panthers.com, and like, this is what their story is. So thin, they said this is that, who's your boy, our field goal kicker, the big
Sly,
dude,
Joey Sly,
working on headline, working on the mental part of the game. That's
a bad sign. I'm telling you from experience as a Bucks fan who's had worst kicker after worst kicker, when somebody mentions it in the news that they are working on the mental, that's like a cracked egg, and you're not getting that yolk back in there.
Well, for us, is that we got no choice. he's been okay, man. For him,
he has
the extra points. That's the thing is, some people. Did you know this, CK, that Graham Gano is like the fourth highest paid kicker in all the NFL?
Why?
Yeah.
Sex tape on somebody or something?
Dave Gettleman, clearly, man. Dave Gettleman loves some Graham Gano. He only missed one field goal last year. He had a very good last year.
Yeah.
I mean, now that's only four. He's making $4.5 million.
Yeah.
But most of these guys were trotting out there for the league minimum and cutting them like, who's that guy? Zimmer?
Yeah.
Zimmer will cut a kicker in a heartbeat. All right. So the Bucks playing with house money and free agency. Everybody wants to play with Tom Brady. Everybody wants to be a winner. You go into the draft and you reload that linebacker right away, you assholes. Yeah. Always getting these linebackers, man.
They learned from the Panthers on that.
Yeah.
That's all we were doing for like 30 years, and then now all of a sudden, like, we can't even find a linebacker.
And now we can't get one. You're right. So now the Bucks. Are there any storylines that are relevant for us to be talking about? And I'm going to bring up one that's unrelated to the Bucks, but related to all of us in the NFC South. Julio Jones was traded to the Tennessee Titans for like maybe a second and a six or a second four. I forget. I didn't look at the details over a money dump.
I hate Atlanta. I'm going to say this. The best ability is availability, and you haven't really got that from Julio Jones for a couple of years.
He's always injured, but he's always producing, though.
Right. Yeah, I totally get that. He's producing, but when it's money time and you need him.
He hasn't been there.
He's been hurt. I mean, if you objectively go back, as much as I hate him, I'm glad they're a broken team after the Super Bowl loss.
Right.
But we can talk about that another time. But if you look at them objectively and just look at when Julio Jones, he may in the midseason, he'll blow up and get you 200, 300, 400 yards or whatever.
Yeah, against the Panthers.
Yeah. But when it's go time and he's really needed, he's usually been injured. And I mean, seriously, if you look at the last 2-3 years, that's just been the way it's been for him.
Yeah. He's always dealt with injuries nonstop throughout his career, but he's always been a way to he's been a producer. Like, he's still, despite that, he's still 1,000 yards every year. He's still
100%, but what it's when he gets
in the Carolina Panthers. Interestingly, though, is that Julio Jones is a big part of their franchise, right? As you go back to when they acquired Julio Jones, it was one of those kind of trend-setting trades that they were, they moved up. They put like a bunch of picks to get Julio.
Yeah, they bet the farm to get him.
You saw Buffalo try to replicate this a few years later with Sammy Watkins, or maybe 2 years. It wasn't that far afterwards. Julio Jones is 33, maybe. He's still up there, but he is legit. What do you think about him on the Titans, Gene?
I'm still not sold on Ryan Tannehill. Not 100% sold on the guy. When you look at their running game is amazing. You take away that running game, I don't know what you have. Who's their tight end? Who's their starting tight end?
Delanie Walker. Yeah, you're right.
Delanie Walker's gone. I understand what he can do, what he can bring to the team when he's healthy. But again, I just don't know what else they have. You need a complete team. Their defense is going to really have to.
Those corners they drafted this year, they're going to need some rookies to step up. Their defense, like their defense. Hasn't, their defense wasn't as good as it was advertised 2 years ago. Now, last year, kind of stepped back and some different things. I kind of think the Julio Jones trade is resemblant of the Stephon Diggs trade to Buffalo. And you got to wonder, is that, like you said, as I'm with you, as I'm not sold on Tannehill. But I do think he's kind of he salvaged his career. He's not as bad as what I saw in Miami. And I saw this dude give us a game one time where he was on the 5 yard line. They were about to beat us and he goes to throw the ball and it went backwards. Yeah. And we were and it was like, thank you. We would have lost this game if he was not. He's not done that yet. But as Panther fans are listening to this, Tannehill is a very important name for us because he is the one that most people are leaning on to discuss Sam Darnold, right? Adam Gase, Tannehill, you get out from Adam Gase, Tannehill's resurrection in Tennessee. And a lot of people, what we want to believe is that Sam Darnold getting out from Adam Gase in New York now can find a resurrection. We're trying to do what Tennessee is trying to do. But I do believe that adding Julio at this point is that they saying, look, is that we've been in the playoffs for the last 2 years, right? Or they made the playoffs this past year.
Yeah,
right?
And
they have a beast of a running back. They have – is that Vrabel's going to have to get that defense right. Because now I wonder if Tannehill's got the arm to really take advantage of Julio.
That's what's going to be on display right now. And I know some podcasters from Tennessee, and I follow them during the NFL season. And that there was one who just continually roasts Ryan Tannehill, and doesn't think he's that good. And I don't know if this will help him, but with that offense that they have is predicated on having a good possession tight end. And I just don't know who they have. You can't just totally lean on the running game. There have been times where, you know, Henry's been stopped, you know, and that what does the rest of the team do? So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to watch. I'm just going to kind of sit back and watch that.
Yeah. I mean, they did have to restructure Ryan Tannehill's contract to make room for the $15 million cap hit that Julio was going to have. So, I mean, I think that again, and I know the idea of a restructure does not mean pay cut, but it also means that they, and it could be Ryan Tannehill offering it, but I think Ryan Tannehill understands that, you know, there's a good chance that somebody like a Julio Jones makes him look much better as a quarterback than, you know, anything else that he's got on the team other than, you know, obviously you have a nice brown there, but
With Tannehill, the good thing for him is that there's no problem for him restructuring this contract.
Yeah.
And the reason that being is that they paid Tannehill, I won't say
overpaid.
After their first playoff 2 years ago, 2019, they came out and he was done on his 1 year deal or whatever the deal was. And they went ahead and extended him. And that was before they reached terms with Derrick Henry. Remember, they made Derrick Henry sit. Now, then they paid him. So, look, is that Tannehill's got his money at this point.
Right.
And a restructure isn't going to take away money. It could potentially take away his ability to get a new contract. But for him, is that his ability to get a new contract is predicated on him just being successful. Like, he just wants to live this contract out.
Right.
So, you give me Julio, I'll do it. I'll go wash Julio's car if I'm Ryan Tannehill. The question, though, is how would Tennessee be without Arthur Smith? Is that his name? Who's now Atlanta Falcons head coach? Whoever that guy is.
Yeah, Arthur Smith, I think, is who it is.
Okay. So what now, Gene, is looking outside. You said it. People in the chat room were happy to hear it. You hate the Atlanta Falcons. We hate the Atlanta Falcons.
Not more than me.
I don't know. We're ready to charge the gates with you. How about that?
Yeah, we can all make this team effort.
Yeah, exactly. It's certainly my most hated team personally. Yeah. And this says it's just a personal thing going back to Mike Vick. And it's not the dog stuff, folks. Actually, the dog stuff resurrected him for me.
They're delusional fan base. This goes back to when they went to the Super Bowl and failed. Yeah. But you know, that I just don't, their fan base is just hard to deal with. So
what is, what's going to happen to the Atlanta Falcons now? No Julio Jones.
No Julio Jones. They're going to have to depend on the rookie. And who's their number one wide receiver now?
Calvin Ridley.
Kyle Pitts, actually.
I don't know that he would be number one. I think that Ridley's more like a Juju Smith-Schuster. Without Antonio Brown. But we'll see. He may redeem himself and he may change my mind this year. But, you know, when Juju had the chance to be the number one.
He's like Golden Tate, man. He's good. He's good. But, like, you are you going to build your wide receiver core around him? He's good when Julio's on the other side. He's right. Great.
That's he's that number two. Now he's going to be that guy. Let's see what he does.
Yeah, he's always been that's 100% the argument I've always made when people wanted to compare him and DJ Moore. From a statistics standpoint, DJ Moore clearly was not doing what Calvin Ridley was, but Calvin Ridley was on the receiving end of a lot of very easy touchdowns due to the fact that he was not being covered the same way DJ Moore was. Exactly. So, I agree wholeheartedly with that statement. I think it's just a matter of, I think this is the prove it year. I think it's an interesting year for the Falcons in general because we've seen that they've made some moves, but I think everybody can agree right now if Matt Ryan does not come out and show that he deserved to be drafted or he deserved to have Kyle Pitts drafted as opposed to say Justin Fields, that's going to be the biggest question mark here. I think for anything is whether or not he's going to come out and show that he was he deserved to be the starter as opposed to them picking the future with that fourth overall pick.
Yeah, I mean, they had to have known though that Julio was on the, you know, that they knew it. Everybody knew it. Is that their salary cap situation was in such shambles. Mm-hmm. That's the thing they were paying between Julio and Matt Ryan. That was $60 million.
Yep.
You know, I mean, if you think, I mean, that is a 30% of the salary cap. And they couldn't re-sign anybody that they needed. And I don't know. It's just one of those things is you just got to pick who you're going to go with. Arguably, they had to do this. And you know what is that? This is fine. Do you think Julio went to the right place?
I'm still not sold on Tannehill. I think that's the only thing that's stopping me from saying, yeah, that's the spot to go to. I mean, if he goes to, let's say he went to Seattle, you know, he's going to ball out there. I mean, just because of that wide receiver room there. I'm just trying to think of other teams that he could have gone to where he would have been. I just am not sold on that quarterback. That's the only thing that, you know, I can't 100% say, yeah, that was a great move because we still don't know what Tannehill is going to do.
Right.
He went to the one, you know, where he should have gone. And
Indianapolis, maybe
Green Bay.
Ooh, that wouldn't. I don't think they have much.
That would have made Aaron Rodgers come to fucking mandatory. You know, Aaron Rodgers was not at the mandatory. Yeah. They started their mandatory camp today. Aaron Rodgers was not there.
And he could be fined $100,000 for it, which is insane to me. I'm like,
I wish I could fine $100,000 and not know about it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, can they just give me that? Like,
me the interest.
Can we apply for like the fines to be deposited into our accounts? Like, is there a giveaway that they can do?
I think that, look, if you're the Green Bay Packers, you know that you have a problem with Aaron Rodgers being unhappy. And that would have been one way to say, look, is let's get one more year of quiet. Like, let's go get this shit. He would have come back. He would have been fine. I told my friend this and he said, guess what? The only problem with that scenario that you're throwing out there is that you think that Green Bay gives a fuck about keeping Aaron Rodgers happy. Obviously, they want him to play mad, dude. If Aaron Rodgers plays mad, he is the league MVP, bro. He's going to come out for 45-5 with Marquez Scandrick, Valdez Scandrick, whatever, dropping every fucking pass, Should have been cashing him on my fantasy.
Stone-handed team. Devil. Yeah, I saw that.
God knows he was terrible. All right, Gene, any other news or storylines you want to talk before we bounce out of here?
Keep an eye on Giovanni Bernard. Quiet free agency pickup. Replaced Shady McCoy, who's basically stole that salary from last year from the Bucks. But that's quite an upgrade, bringing in a Giovanni Bernard. I think he will be able to help the Buccaneers offense on third downs. So keep an eye on him. And again, I'm looking for you guys to do big things this year, and I'm sure we'll all link up again. But you know, this has been one of my project teams that I kind of keep an eye on. And I just like what you guys are doing right now. I love the coach. I love just everything that you guys are doing. I just hope that, you know, it can all work out for you. Hopefully they won't make him leave before he can finish what he needs to do.
Yeah, let him finish the work he started before we say that he's failed or anything. Yeah, I agree.
All right, man, we appreciate it. But tell them how they can find your podcast.
All right, you can reach me at Buck What You Heard on Twitter. Podcast is Buck What You Heard on YouTube. You follow me, I'll follow you back. I love getting people. It doesn't matter if you're Bucks fans or not. Real cool chat room. You know, we just love talking football. So check us out.
All right, man. You guys check out Gene Thomas, Buck What You Heard. Best name for a podcast in the business. And always a great guest. A lot of people were happy to see you. Thanks, man, for carving out some time for us tonight.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, we'll catch up with you soon. All right, guys, that was Gene Thomas, Buck What You Heard. Now you're listening to the longest-running Panthers podcast, the C3 Panthers podcast. Go ahead and smash that thumbs-up button. Subscribe to the show. Follow me on Twitter, @cat_chronicles. Where can they follow your work at, Code Dizzle?
You can find me on Facebook Gaming or Twitch, really, at this point, and YouTube, really, as well, @CodeDizzle_Allen. And I'm streaming games. It's been a lot of Warzone, but I have been making transitions from that game into other styles of game as well. And so come check it out. Also, keep an eye out.
We're not done. We got plenty to go still.
All right, cool. I was making sure.
Don't worry, folks, is that Bank of America may be falling down. That was the latest. Yeah, actually, let me see if I can put the... I think I got it up here. I saw this is the tweet that I saw from Joe Person. And I guess the only other thing that I know to talk about that's Panthers news and notes is that David Tepper and them donated to a big park for disabled people in Rock Hill, South Carolina, gave a $500,000 personal donation to it. And also there was talk about Bank of America and the questions surrounding if we need a new stadium, if we need a dome on the stadium and this and that. And Tepper says at some point, this is reported by Joe Person on Twitter, at some point Bank of America Stadium is going to fall down. But Tepper says, quote, "I'm not building the stadium alone. The community is going to have to want it." I also heard that he doesn't want to have a dome, which was kind of surprising, given the fact that they're putting in turf. And that's the other thing is that we saw the grass go away from Bank of America. So everybody is interested in what will happen when it comes to Bank of America and Panthers moving forward. We know they have that giant facility. They're building Rock Hill, the training facility. They got the bubble up so they can practice bubble. The one thing that's great about about Bank of America is right in the city. And, you know, is that like, that's cool, man, is that you get to go to the game. Parking can sometimes be difficult. Right, but you're in there, and then you get to leave. You get to go. You can go to eat. You can. It's really right. It feels cool.
Yeah.
Right.
It doesn't feel like the. It's a. And you hear this a lot. I feel like, but it's a big city without the big city feel. You know, it's you kind of have a. I don't know. Like I know you still have some assholes and some criminal activity that takes place there, but you know, for the most part, it's a pretty chill place. I don't know. Every time I go there, I have a blast.
Yeah. All right. So look, you're listening to the C3 Panthers podcast powered by Avolta. We're about to get into the cat calls. right? And don't forget that if you live in North and South Carolina, you're a homeowner, you can contact Kevin Brown, your solar consultant. Add equity to your home, cut the cord with your energy company, and you get solar panels or you go green. You take advantage of these tax cuts, and they can fix your utility bill for life, right? No ups and downs, no this and that. You can become energy independent, add equity to your home with no money down. Contact Kevin Brown, solar consultant, at 704-215-3373. Cody, we need to go ahead and maybe we can get into these cat calls.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's see if I can share it. Let me see. I miss my producer. Where's my producer at? Right. Where's my producer? Need to get better at this. Here we go. Somewhere. Maybe. Today.
Maybe.
Guess it would help if I unmute.
Nah.
Oh, now you got to hear the music.
So what are your thoughts on catcalling?
Yeah, it's pretty you shouldn't do that to somebody.
And how did that make you feel?
Very uncomfortable.
So how do you think catcalling makes the person feel?
It feels good, like a 3 and a 4 and a who's that cat sitting in the back corner with his face buried in his nose? Who's that kid that can use one?
Podcast brothers, how y'all doing? G. Cavazier. I know it's been a while. I've been trying to call in, but y'all been having some good-ass discussions. You know what I'm about to damn say. Julio Jones is now out of the NFC South. He's still in the South because you next door in Tennessee and everything, but you ain't got to deal with your ass no more. I wish him the best of luck. Atlanta, you guys, I don't know who the hell you're going to throw to. Calvin Ridley, Kyle Pitts, and the other wide receivers, I don't know. I'm laughing because I think that was a number one weapon. But, gentlemen, let's talk about something really quick, something that just flashed by my head yesterday. Y'all remember when we got rid of Steve Smith? Oh, that was a dark day for the Panthers. It was dark as hell. But you know what happened that year? We went 15-1, and we went to the damn Super Bowl, you know. I'm not saying, I'm not saying Atlanta is going to go 15-1. I don't see no boys making it in the playoffs. I don't, but never know, man. You never know. Keep pounding.
Keep pounding, man.
Thanks, G.
I can't believe you just put that in my head right there. That's so rude, dude.
We're at the playoffs.
Yeah, like we got rid of our best wide receiver ever, and then we went to the Super Bowl that year. Oh, you son of a bitch. I was really hoping they were going to be bad. Now you got me thinking, maybe they're going to be good.
I was, I have an anonymous friend that sent me a message. He wants to leave the name out of it, but he went on a date with a girl who was a, who her brother is plays off on the offensive line for the Washington Redskins.
Oh.
And he asked about John Matsko, right? I think he went to Washington, the famed offensive line coach.
Yeah.
Everybody says he's a genius, brilliant dude, even though we didn't have a good offensive line half the time. Didn't have a ton of good things to say. He said it was a good day when he wasn't talking to him. That was one of the things. Another thing is that ultimately that they just weren't not overly in love with Ron Rivera. Interesting.
Really? The players
are? Yeah. Or that player, you know, who knows how deep they are or how, you know, but Ron Rivera has put some, there's been some, I've been a proponent of saying this is Ron Rivera's personality changed after the Super Bowl where he started by, I think a little bit too much into himself. He used to always talk about it was me. We got to change. And then after the Super Bowl, it was like these players got to execute. They got to do it. And maybe this isn't just me harping on the words too much. But one of the things that's strange as you look to the Washington football team is They got rid of Morgan Moses. They cut a guard. Like, again, they're trying to do that. You know what Ron Rivera wants to do? Build a, he wants to pay all those defensive players. Jonathan Allen, all those dudes are going to get paid. And they're having, they're going to have a badass defense. But whoever their quarterback is going to be run for their fucking life the whole time. Thanks, G. And we're with you. Get the hell out of here, Julio. It's a good day for us.
252-228-5098. What's going on, C3 Nation? This is your boy, J. Anson, hitting y'all up. Man, I just now saw something on Twitter that said something about David Tepper, about this new stadium. David Tepper saying, you know, because of the COVID, he not building a new stadium. And if he was going to build a new stadium, it's going to take more than him, just him. I see a lot of Panthers fans, you know, upset about that, saying why, you know, he's a billionaire. Why is he, you know, why can't he pay for it? I don't think people understand that it's a lot of billionaires that owns a football team that hasn't paid for it, you know, paid right. for the stadium.
Right.
And if you want the team to be here, and this is your team, and you want the team to be here, and you want a new stadium, guess what? You're going to have to pay. You're going to have to, as a taxpayer, you're going to have to pay up.
Amen.
That's just how it's going to work.
Better move outside the city limits.
I know a lot of North Carolina people saying, this is our team, this ain't South Carolina team. Well, North Carolina people, y'all going to have to pay up if y'all want that new stadium. Because Charlotte going to need a new stadium. You know, Bank of America is old. It's an old stadium. That, hey, if you want Final Four, Super Bowl, and stuff like that, you want big business, you're going to have to get a new stadium.
Not wrong.
All right, y'all, holla.
All right, Jay. Good call. Good call. And actually bring up the, I guess, the crux of the argument is, first of all, how many, I don't think, has there been anybody's paid for their own stadium?
I mean, I'm sure there's been somebody who's paid more than others, but I don't think that, I can't recall a situation where it wasn't at least helped by the government in some way, shape, or form. And the reason is, and it's logical, right? And I get the argument. Like, I'm not saying I don't understand the argument Panthers fans have of like, hey, listen, the government shouldn't have to pay for your own stadium, but somebody will. Like, that's the problem with this, is that somebody will. And there is a mutual benefit to it all from a taxpayer's perspective of the economy will be better because the Panthers are in town. So it's a win.
There is, but there also have been studies that say it doesn't bring back the, you know, the revenue that people say it's going to bring back, right? Yeah. Like, is the business, the David Tepper and the Carolina Panthers are going to talk about all the revenue and all of this that they bring Charlotte, right? And certainly they're going to, that's going to be the focal point. Interestingly, though, a lot of these times these guys are kind of like, free capitalists or the people that support these things, they're like, hey, like let us make as much money. It does a NFL team. It's not like a social necessity, you know, it's not like right. public schools or right. something, you know, like we think is. So there's this, that kind of dynamic is that if, you know, if the NFL is so profitable, these guys aren't making so much money. Why is it that they are in the need to lean? It's not that they need to lean, it's that they can lean, right? Is yeah. that, you know what, is that they could build their own stadium, and he could afford it and do all that, and he would still profit, likely, but he doesn't have to.
Well, like, it's what I also tell people this too, right? Rich people didn't get rich by not taking advantage of making money, right? Like, and not spending money where they don't have to spend money. Like, the part is, like, if David Tepper didn't believe that an indoor facility was going to help the team, he wouldn't have done it. He wouldn't have put the money out for that. He would have had some other way of trying to come up with that money to do that, or had somebody else pay for it, or wait until that actually hurt.
And they got a bunch of tax breaks from Rock Hill, South Carolina. And the last story I heard is that South Carolina, that the Panthers were upset and potentially suing the county of Rock Hill or city for not meeting their obligations of, like, infrastructure. Like, they were supposed to get it's kind of dependent on them getting one of those bonds passed or something, and they didn't get it passed, and now the city's not meeting their end of the deal, or the county or whatever, and the Panthers are asking for that loot.
Yeah.
You know, is that it's a strange argument. It's just a strange discussion. Is that because we're talking about a sport there that is optional, number one.
Right.
Number two is that it's like one of the most profitable sports in the world, profitable enterprises in the world. And then it's so popular and we want it so badly that the people of a city are willing to foot the bill for it.
Right.
Because you could be like, what was it recently? I mean, I think Oakland, right, going to L.A., I mean, to Las Vegas. But I heard somewhere else, too, and it was like, hey, if you guys aren't going to start consider building a new stadium, we might consider moving this fucking team. And that's a sad. That's a tough conversation to have.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think Bank of America is in that bad of shape. The other thing though, about it though, is that it wasn't but in 2014 or 15 that Charlotte footed the bill for $50 million in renovations. Remember they put the escalators in some different things like that. So this comes around every 5 years. Until you get the multi-billion dollar stadium and you got to pay for it for the next 25 years, right? 252-228-5098.
Hey, guys. It's Chuck from Elizabeth City.
What's up, Chuck?
I looked up and seen you guys today where that's a slow week, I guess.
It is.
Going to cover our arch rival, Tampa Bay. Bunch of queers. And all I want to know is when Tampa Bay plays that opening night game in Tampa on a Thursday night, is Tom Brady going to reach in his vagina and put out that Super Bowl trophy? Tampon Day is terrible. Anyway, guys, keep pounding.
He said Tampon
Day. Let's get some Panther content rolling.
Oh, man. Yeah, we're waiting for some news. Good call. 252-228-5098.
Hey, this is Kevin from Charleston. I want to talk about Thomas Davis and what's going on with him. Like,
yeah.
Somebody broke into that motherfucker's house and fucked up his, you know, car or whatever. Like, what the fuck? You know, I think we as Panthers Nation, Panther fans need to find this fucker and fuck him up.
But, man, Thomas Davis got insurance.
I'm watching podcast now here and somebody talking about positive. Be positive. So let's talk about something positive.
This dude's about to strap up for Thomas Davis, man. Good call. Thanks, Derek Kevin from Charleston. That man, look, again, is that I'm not going to get overly cry about millionaires. You know, I mean, is that like, I'll get cry about the TJ Olson story. I'm not going to get cry about David Tepper needing a new stadium and Thomas Davis's.
Right.
McLaren wrecked when he got insurance. You don't worry. Is that, you know what? They caught the, how about this? If somebody stole my truck and smashed it in a tree and I got on Twitter with all of my 6,000 plus followers, which is a lot. Thank you. Follow at @cat_chronicles. You think we're going to be tracking that motherfucker down anytime soon? So no, is that, look, is that, it's actually kind of crazy to me that people had the guts and the gumption to break in all these houses in these rich ass neighborhoods.
Right.
That is like the weird. That's like them mugs didn't have, they didn't give no fucks. They coming in there, breaking in the whole neighborhood. And they knew everybody was in like Cabo and shit.
Yeah. And that's like, like when you watch these guys, like in that video, I don't know if you watched the video. Like, I'm surprised that those guys were just had that. Do you think they actually broke into that knowing it was Thomas Davis's house?
I don't know. What video was it?
It was a video from Thomas Davis's like garage. Like that's the thing that these guys were like this. I'm not going to talk like, I don't know what his situation was, but dude walked into a house that's clearly owned by somebody who has a lot more money than he does with no mask on, like whatsoever, walking not around smart. In there. Yeah. Like,
you know, they got a security system, folks. Come on.
Right. Right.
And get your social look. Is that they look? Roy Cooper took away the mask mandate, and even robbers don't even wear them no more. All right, next call.
What it do, boys? It's your boy Mike. You already know who it is. You know who it is. God damn it! It's the best thing since the supersized Big Mac meal, baby. Supreme Leapers. Hope you guys are having a wonderful but very moist week. Oh my God, it's so humid out here. Oh my Lord.
Said, but very moist.
Oh my Jesus. Oh my every God out there. Whew! How can it be like low 80s, but as soon as I step outside, I'm still sweating. Goodness gracious. Okay. Yeah, so hope everyone's all right. Not too much going on. Hey, I heard Ian Thomas is looking pretty good out there in OTAs. And, you know, every time Matt Rhule says somebody looks good,
did you see my post on this?
R.I.P. Ian Thomas. Yeah, you got that going on. Let's see, what else? Oh, of course, I am going to be a full supporter of our team, the Carolina Panthers, having a TJ patch on their jerseys this year for my man TJ Olsen. All right. Can't imagine what he's going through. You know, I got babies. You know, I got three sons, one of whom has autism. You know, he's pretty much nonverbal, but, you know, we're working through it with speech therapy and all that. You know, it doesn't quantify to what they're going through, but I understand as a parent. So big shout out to the Olsen family. Let's get that TJ patch on the jersey. Let's see. Hey, how about this? Mick Mixon is retiring from the.
Oh, another story. Yeah, great. You know, thank you.
On the radio thing, dang. He's been doing it since 2005. Who should replace him?
Me.
Got anybody in mind? You know, maybe a previous Panther or something like that. You know, who should replace Mick Mixon? Let me know, guys.
Play by play, though. See, here's the.
Keep pounding. Peace.
I couldn't do the play-by-play, honestly.
Good call. Is that it's hard to speculate. It's easy for me to maybe give you a color guy, right? Like, is someone that we want to kind of explain football. Is that immediately, if this was the color commentator going, we'd say, let's get Olsen. Let's get, you know, they've last year for the color commentary or the year before, last year, I think they cycled in. It was a mix of Jake DeLome, Jordan Gross, right, and some different things because Eugene Robinson is no longer. Mick Mixon, though, what are your thoughts on Mick Mixon?
I've never – I like him just because of the longevity he's had with the Panthers. But as an actual commentator, I've never been a big fan.
Really?
He's
so vanilla in one way. I like him because he's like the clarity, his voice. Like, he's technically, as a play-by-play commentator, he's like
sensational. Does a very good job. Yeah. He does a very good job in that respect. But I also think like when you're comparing him to for instance, our previous Spanish broadcasters, the energy levels just weren't on the level that I think that, you know, you want from an entertainment perspective. Like, I don't know, just and it's not all about that.
His entertainment is stuff like this. Is Ron Rivera takes his big strong arms and crosses them over his big burly chest as Teddy Bridgewater steps up and licks his fingers, then hands on the bottom and caresses the ball. The description is always so
so specific.
It's you can't help but laugh half the time. That with Ron Rivera, he was always talking about Ron Rivera's big burly chest, his big broad arms, and it's so descriptive in that. Mick Mixon does have that old school radio voice vibe. I liked him. I like him, and I did. You don't like him, you know. It's like now that he's gone, we'll be interested to see who takes over with play by play.
Right.
He is having a storied exit at this point, as he's announced that he is going to be retiring after this year. And I guess this is when I wasn't going to do it. But you said something about it earlier. Julio got this big fanfare from Atlanta. They sent out, they made a movie about how he changed the position.
Right.
And he is, what's his number, two?
Are you talking about Julio's?
11.
11, whoever, yeah. You're thinking 11. About Roman numerals.
How he changed the position, this and that. And I didn't want to think about it. I want to talk about it, but I saw some people bring it up in the Discord and also on Twitter.
Yeah.
It's like all these other, it's like the salt in the wound for the Carolina Panthers with a great player, Cam Newton. It's just like he didn't play for it. Like, thanks, Cam. They didn't even put up a tweet for him. I bet you know what is that this is. What do you think they'll do for Mick Mixon? They'll probably retire a microphone for him.
Right. They'll probably retire a microphone.
I don't know.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Now, I like Mick Mixon. It's all right, but he does. He's like, the sweat glistens down his brow as his arms masculinely folded across his big, broad chest. Stepping up to the line, licking his fingers again, hands on the bottom. All right. Thank you, Mick Mixon. Next call.
Hey, guys. Joey, I just wanted to respond to G's call. Dude, you opened up a can of worms saying that because no one saw us making the playoffs either, but we did. So, now you just opened Pandora's box and, dealing with Atlanta and the Bucks.
Not something I want to think
about. I only hope New Orleans ain't going to be good. We got to deal with both of those two at their peaks. But the good thing is that if it's Tampa and Atlanta, I don't see Tampa losing to Atlanta.
No one's
losing to Atlanta. I try not to look at Atlanta, but, you know, I can't look at the Panthers either, which kind of sucks. But anyway.
That's blind.
Yeah, whatever happened to my favorite crippled in the whole world? My fellow handicap. Where is he at?
Cody Lashney's taking a night of rest tonight,
hey,
man.
Hey, guys, that's all day. Not many football takes, except I'm super excited for the Panthers season, which is why I wish I could time travel so I could just take a pill and go to sleep and wake up when the Panthers play again. Because this is getting agonizing. Anyway, guys. Yeah, wow.
Like the news cycle, Cody Lashney is taking a day of rest. The Carolina Panthers, really not much to talk about when it comes to them. As Mick Mixon, we've talked about tonight. We've talked about Thomas Davis and the break-in. We've talked a little bit about Robbie Anderson. As we go forward. Oh, I do want to address this before we close, is that people were talking about this. And last week I said in this podcast, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I said this wide receiver core is thin. And right now we're looking at this. We're talking about Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, number one, Robbie Anderson, number two, Terrence Marshall Jr., number three. And then behind those guys are a bunch of names, Shai Smith, Omar Bayless, people brought up to me. David Moore from the Seattle Seahawks.
Yeah.
And when I say our wide receiver core is thin, it's not meant to shit on the young players.
Right.
But I do believe is that you can only expect so much out of a player who hasn't played in this league. Look at how long it took for Curtis Samuel
right. To
ultimately become what we thought last year was the best version of himself. Despite him giving it his all and being sensational throughout the process, is that to count on somebody that you haven't seen before, I think is a lot. And that's why I truly believe is that right now you're trying to tell me our wide receiver core is deep because we got Terrence Marshall Jr. And you are under the assumption that he's going to be fantastic, and I hope he is. But he's dealt with some injury problems going forward. And, yes, he will be reunited with Joe Brady, where he had a lot of success in LSU. But my thing is this, is that this, when you look at our wide receiver core, and maybe every team is like this, it's predicated on these guys being healthy. Robbie Anderson in the last year of his deal, DJ Moore going into his fifth year. Is that right?
They exercised. This is going into his fourth year.
And because, they're going to give him the fifth
year. Yeah, they've exercised the fifth year after that, yeah.
So I like the when I say thin, I think this is that you guys just are banking on the people's upside working out entirely. But what if this, you don't want to knock on wood, but what if Robbie Anderson goes down and it's just DJ Moore and Terrence Marshall Jr. and then whoever else we can work, David Moore, is that I don't know if thin's the right word. It's just this. It is predicated on it working. That's it.
Certainly.
It's predicated on working. So that's my point on that. So we've talked about wide receivers. We've talked about Robbie Anderson a little bit. Brian Burns, I saw a storyline saying, is that he's trying to step up and become a leader. That's going to be exciting as we see this young defense continue to grow. And we'll continue to watch the mini camps. The Panthers have not started their mandatory one as far as I know. The Green Bay Packers did, and Aaron Rodgers wasn't there. Let's see if Robbie Anderson is there, I guess, will be the story for us. But look, it looks like is that we're in neutral. We're in fourth gear. We're just cruising at this point. No news is actually good news in this time of year. You don't want to hear someone tearing an ACL and non-contact, you know, in exercise,
right,
or someone getting arrested, this and that. So, all right, last part of the show, CK, is to ice somebody up, toughen up, tell them to get it together. This is our homage to Steve Smith. I'd like to thank everybody before we do that for being a part of the show. You guys are watching. You guys are great in the chat room. Smash the thumbs up button. Be a part of it. Go ahead and drop your ice ups in the chat room if you want. CK, you got an ice up for me tonight?
Yes and no. So my ice up is it's going to be a lot around my work, and that's why I say no, because not many people are going to really care about this. But, and I know this doesn't go for every person dealing with this, but I feel it's important to express. Right now, the U.S. has 9 million job openings, right? That's a lot of job openings. And can I tell you how many people per day say, yeah, I'm not working, nobody's hiring, can't. I have yet to go into a place and not see a hot, you know, or not see a, you know, now hiring sign, right? Now it may not be the ideal scenario, right? It may not be your dream job, but I'm telling you right now, like just from what I know and what I've seen, the amount of people that are going to flock to the job market once this unemployment starts to expire, because they will not extend it. With the jobs numbers like that, the unemployment benefits will not be extended the way that they have been. You're not going to want to be one of the people trying to find a job when everybody else in the country is looking for a job. Take advantage of the competition or the lack of competition right now and go out there, find something to do. And then guess what? You're going to be on the track to a leadership position in no time, because you're going to be one of the few people that have stood up and actually said, I'm ready to do it. And I know that doesn't go for everybody, and I don't want this to become a political thing. This is not what my intention is with this. But I deal with this debt collection stuff on a daily basis, and the amount of people that still believe in their heart of hearts that there aren't anything out there, it's those people that I want to say ice up to. So ice up, son.
All right, I got a list of ice ups right now. Number one goes to the people that are installing our pool. Again, is that, and this comes back to COVID, I guess, is that the liners for pools, because everybody's been buying, but like I started this in October, bro. I was almost before the wave. Anyway, they're supposed to be here May 10th. Then the guy said it will be here June 8th. He said, I'm working on getting you an exact date. He said, it'll be here June 8th. Today is June 8th. It's not here. Hey. On top of that, as I message these people, And really, their craftsmanship is impeccable. Like, the work they've done has been beautiful. Like, everything's great on that. It's ultimately a communication piece that's a problem. But he's like, I'm on. The ice up kind of goes to them and to you guys who don't like to talk to people who are getting irritated and complain, you know, and that you give these standard answers that are clearly not true with anybody. You're not on the phone with this company. No, you're not. You just said that. So I would stop texting you. And now I've been ghosted.
From your pool people?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give them a day. They're working. They're out there working. I mean, what are they going to say? They're going to keep saying, well, we're trying to get it. We're trying to get it. My next ice up goes to small engines. As my buddy, I'm putting up my own fence. My buddy let me borrow an auger. I started this auger yesterday, and it worked for a whole half of a hole. And I can't get this mug running. I have my friend look at it. We can't get running, stay running. So I then proceeded to dig 13 post holes by hand. I've got only 29 to go. I'm renting an auger, though. But small engines are the fucking worst. I mean, good gosh. I love machinery, and when it works, it's wonderful. But those little engines, when you can't get them running, you're hot, you're sweating, you give it the choke, the this, or that, and then you get it running, and then you go press the button, and that's my second ice up. My third ice up goes to the Carolina Hurricanes, who just got beat the fuck down by the Tampa Bay Lightning. It sucks. That's it. It's the C3 Panthers podcast, the longest running Panthers podcast in the business. Every Tuesday night, we chop up the latest Panthers news and opinions from the fan perspective. My name's Tony Dunn. You can follow me on Twitter at @cat_chronicles. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube. We're on Facebook. So share those videos. All you got to do is hit share. You don't even got to say nothing about it if you don't want. Just hit share. Say, I like this. If you're a Panthers fan, like this. We're on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, all the places you get your podcast. Leave a review. Go ahead and let me get another review. Because last review was this, was it was like, this is a really great podcast, but Tony always cuts people off. And he's always drunk. That was, I think, another thing he said, too. And both of those things are true, and I'm trying to work on them. CK, where can they find your work?
You can find me again on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. And so this Friday, actually, you guys are going to want to tune in. Me and Jeff Leach, who he still technically is the voice actor that voiced Ghost in Call of Duty Warzone. He is a stand-up comedian. He is going to be doing a show at Vegas. I'm going out there and hanging out with him on Friday. So we're going to be putting out some content during that day. So if you guys are interested in that, tune in Friday. I'm going to be flying out Thursday night, and I'll be flying back Saturday, and I'm going to Myrtle Beach after that. I might make it on my phone to the podcast next week, but it's very possible I'm not going to be here.
It's all right. You have held your seat strongly. Cody Lashney will be back next week, recharged. I will be here no matter what. And until then, keep pounding.
Keep pounding.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.